Join me in prayer, please. Lord, as we approach your word this morning, we do praise you that your word will never lose its power, that it's faithful and that it's true and that it guides us in all things. And I just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews as we continue our study this morning of this great chapter that so many refer to as the Hall of Faith. And we're going to be looking at verse 30 this morning in our focal passage, but we're going to read verses 29 and 30. We've already studied 29, but I want to bring something up as we look at verse 30 that I think is quite relevant. Verse 29 reads this way. It says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." Verses 29 and 30 have a 40-year gap. 40 years of that first generation of the Exodus wandering in the wilderness, till we approach verse 30 as Joshua stands in front of the walls of Jericho, preparing to take the city. And it's interesting to point out, and we're going to be in Joshua chapter 6, 5 and 6 this morning, but it's interesting to point out in Joshua chapter 5, this second generation of the Hebrews observe two ordinances in Joshua chapter 5. First of all, they observed circumcision. And secondly, they observed Passover. They're children of the covenant. That's what circumcision implies for them. And as children of the covenant, as they observe Passover, they have been delivered. And as they are obedient to the Lord's commands concerning worship, because they're worshiping in these two events, someone appears before Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite with him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'No, but as commander of the Lord of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Who is this person standing before Joshua? It's the pre-incarnate Christ. It's the commander of the army of the Lord. And as Joshua falls down on his knees and worships the Lord, I love Joshua's response. "What does my Lord say to his servant?" That's a fitting question for all of us to ask. What does my Lord say to his servant? And I want to point out something before we move on. With that question, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Direction from the Lord always comes after worship. Direction from the Lord always comes after worship. In the 23rd Psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me," direction, "He leadeth me by still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His namesake." This is very important. You can't have direction in your life unless you are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as Joshua said, What does my Lord say to His servant? In Joshua chapter 6, we see the answer. Follow along with me in verse 1. It reads, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. No one went out. None came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him.'" Think about this. Here stands the commander of the Lord's army, and he gives you this word of going up to a fortified city and just walk around in a circle for 6 days. And seventh day, blow some trumpets and shout. This doesn't sound logical, does it? This brings us to our next point. Is the direction of the Lord always requires faith? The direction of the Lord always requires faith. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It doesn't seem logical that you're going to walk around the city once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, the walls are going to fall flat. But we have to be prepared in our life for when God has called us to do things that we step out in faith. Because the ways of the Lord are in direct opposition to the ways of the world. We have to walk in the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ, and that requires faith on our part. It requires faith knowing that God has the best for us in His mind and in His will. Our next point is the direction of the Lord requires obedience. Pink, in his commentary on Hebrews, brings up a great point on this. God requires us to act in obedience for Him to move. He partners with people. When you think about what the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouth. We've all been given gifts. We've been called into ministry. And in order for the Lord to work, He chooses us to work through Him. We are His ambassadors. The Bible says that we're ambassadors for Christ. And in order for God to move, we have to act in obedience, and God works through us, and we get the joy of serving in the Lord. And in order to be obedient, you have to walk in the specifics of what God lays out in His Word. Think about Joshua. Walk around the city. You do exactly this at this appointed time, and this is what I want you to do. Joshua could have said, "Well, how about just one time?" Or, "Why not 4 times? Or, why do I have to be silent for the 6 days? Why can't I say something every day? And why do I have to wait?" Have you ever heard someone say this? "It really doesn't matter what we do so long as we love the Lord." That's not true. See, God is a God of specifics. He wants it His way. Think about some examples that we have in the Bible of people who didn't do what God told them to do. Think about Cain. There was a specific offering that God wanted, and Cain didn't want to do it that way. He wanted to do it his way, and his offering wasn't accepted. In Leviticus chapter 10, we have the example of Nadab and Abihu, who offered a profane fire to the Lord, a strange fire to the Lord, and that didn't work out well for them. God is a God of specifics. He is God. We're not God. It's not for us to determine what to do. He gives the direction. Just think about the names, and these are just a few of the names of Christ, but He is the great shepherd. As we've seen here in Joshua, He's commander of the Lord's army. He is the head of the church. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. It's Him. He's the boss. We're not the boss. And in order for us to be used by God, we have to follow the truths and teachings of God. And where do you find those? You find them in His Word, don't you? And as you pick up your Bible and as you read it and as you use it for direction in your life, God uses you. It's all about faith. And yes, there's times where you're going to pick it up and you go, well, I really don't understand that. I don't quite comprehend that. And you're going to have to step out in faith. And you're going to have to take the Lord at His word. And you're going to have to be obedient to Him and trust in Him. Faith requires obedience. In Luke 9, verse 23, Christ said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." See, obedience, my friends, comes with a price. We have to give up. We have to give up the ways of the world. We have to give up those things that we deem that are important to us, that we're clinging to, that we say, well, this is how I identify myself. This is who I am. This is what I find pleasure in. This is what I like to pursue. And as we push all of those things either down, things like career and importance, or as we purge our life of sin and get them out, and we put Christ as number one in our life, we're obedient to Him. Christ has to be number one. He's above all. That at times doesn't make sense. See, the world tells us that if we do that, if we give up, if we give our life over to Jesus Christ, that somehow we lose. They want to paint this picture of Christianity that as I give up, God just takes and He doesn't give in return. But we know that's not the case. We know that as we continue to surrender more and more of our life to Him, that we find joy through serving in the Lord, and that we find contentment and peace. See, that requires stepping out in faith. You don't get that unless you give up for the Lord. And as Joshua and the Hebrews are about to overtake the city, God calls them to do something that really doesn't make sense. It requires obedience. But not only does faith require obedience, but it also requires patience. Think about it this way. God tells them to go and march around the city once a day for 6 days. Now, when you look at the verses in Joshua 6, did they record any foundational problems in the city there at Jericho? Did they say, well, each day the walls of the city had a little bit bigger of a crack? They didn't say that, did they? And they also didn't record any earthquake tremors in days 1 through 6. You got to be patient. Jesus Christ said, this is exactly what I want you to do. Now, can you imagine that? Put yourself in the Hebrew shoes. Go down, walk around the city once, and you do that day one, and nothing happened. Now, granted, Christ told them, if you're obedient, if you do these things, the walls of the city are going to fall. But that required patience, didn't it? That each day they had to go out and do what God told them to do. God hasn't changed. He still requires us to be patient. When you look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27, it reads, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? In other words, in the 27th verse of Isaiah 40, the Hebrews are saying, God's not listening. Sometimes we find ourselves in that spot, don't we? Where we think that God isn't listening to us. But look at what the answer is in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In order for you to see God move in your life, it requires patience. It requires patience. Now, as I have shared before, I am a fixer. I love to fix. That's how I get a sense of self-value and worth. And sometimes I can really mess things up by being a fixer. Sometimes we just need to wait. We need to do as the Hebrews and say, I'm going to be obedient on a daily basis. Every single day, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to trust. And sometimes it's not going to make sense. Sometimes the world will look like it is winning, but then the walls come down and you have victory. And it's through that confidence in waiting on the Lord and resting on the Lord and trusting in Him that victory then becomes oh so sweet, because you know that the Lord did it, that the Lord moved, that it wasn't us in our own power or strength, but it's God. As I've said before, the Old Testament characters, when God moved, built altars of remembrance. And you and I need to build altars of remembrance when we see God move in our life to where we can then look back and go, remember when God did that for us? Remember when God moved? And we've had times in the church like this. And as I've shared before, as we built this church, it was truly the power of God that moved and got this building built. It wasn't us. It was the Lord providing the funds and everything that was needed. And now we get to look back and say, look at what God did. Look at what God did. God moves when we're patient. Now, some of you may be saying, I've never felt God move in my life like that. And while I think it's safe to say that we might not have a Jericho moment where we see the natural laws of nature be diminished and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down with horn blast and shouts, God does work in our life. But God works in our life when we are obedient to the teachings of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, how can I quench or grieve the Spirit? I can quench or grieve the Spirit when I have sin in my life, when I'm not taking care of the sin in my life, when I'm willingly sinning and ignoring the teachings and truth of God. I cannot expect God to work through me. It's only when we are obedient to Him. Our actions, my friends, mean something. Jesus said that if we abide in Him, that we will bear much fruit. It's through that abiding, it's through that obedience. Christ says that if we love Him, that we will keep His commandments. God has called us not so that we can just get into heaven. He's called us to be an obedient, faithful people. And He's given us His words. The children of Israel, the Hebrews, they had specifics in how to overtake the city. We have specifics in our life too. It's how we should live our life according to the teachings and truth that we find in the Bible. And if we're not obedient, if we don't walk with Him in obedience, we're not going to be used by Him. We'll quench the Spirit. We'll grieve the Spirit. On the flip side of that is if you walk with Him and you give your life to Him, you can experience God working through you. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Our faith, just like the Hebrews, our faith requires obedience in our lives. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father, I just thank You for Your Word and for Your truth. And I just pray that as we worship You this morning, that we might be an obedient people. I pray that we might trust Your Word, that we might take it for what it is, that we might relinquish our life, that we might search Your Word, that we might be students of it, and that we might truly trust You, that we might trust You with our life and recognize that as we trust You, that we experience the life that You'd have us to live. I pray, Lord, that we might be faithful, not only individually, but we might be faithful as a congregation, that we might truly be ambassadors and witnesses for You, that we might stand collectively and proclaim Your truth of the gospel, a gospel that says that You sent Your Son to give us life. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here who does not know You as Lord and Savior, that they might become a believer. I pray, Lord, that we as believers might dedicate our life to You. That as Paul said, that we might die daily. In Jesus' name, amen.